Good morning, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. It's good to see you. Well, it's good for you to see me this morning. We'll start off with a few announcements. Senior citizens, you should have received a letter in the mail from your deacon and from the church. It has assigned you to a deacon. If you have any needs during this time, please call your deacon. If you can't get a hold of your deacon, please call the church office and let them know that you're in need. Please, if you can't get in touch with the church office, you have my cell number. If you don't remember my cell number, it's on a bulletin. We'll take care of your needs. So, senior adults, you should have received a letter. If you are a senior adult from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church and you did not receive a letter, please contact Becky tomorrow at the church office from 9 a.m. to 1. At this time, we normally do praise and testimonies in the service. I ask people if they have a praise and testimony. We have a couple this morning to share. Miss Shirley came home from the hospital yesterday. Miss Shirley Page came home from the hospital Friday, and she is being taken care of by her son, so that's a praise there. Also, David Greathouse came home from the hospital, I believe, yesterday, so y'all be in prayer for both Miss Shirley and Brother David in days to come as they recover. A tremendous praise is there are more online evangelical messages being preached today than any other time in the history of the internet. So that we just praise God for that. We praise that praise God that he is going to do something that only he can do. As we're studying through the book of the life of Paul on Wednesday nights here in the sanctuary when we are meeting, we've seen many times where Satan has tried to do something to harm the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we can look at this time that we're going through right now as a possible time that Satan is trying to stifle the gospel, God is still on the move. God is doing things that only God can do. And where Satan might have meant it for harm, God took that harm and he changed it to his good. So we praise God for that this morning. Also, just a reminder to all our church family, if you can please continue to tithe and support the church and the ministry during this time, you can drop your tithes off here at the church. You can mail them through the mail, or Neil Phillips has set up an app on our website that you can log into and you can pay online. You pay your tithes online. Amy did this past week. It took about 5 minutes, and she said it was very easy. I heard of another church member who did the same thing. It's very easy. So please continue to support the church in every way. Please continue to pray for us. We love you. We miss you. Big shout out. Big thanks. Y'all help me here. Big thanks to Brother Neil Phillips for all that he's done this week. Amen. And setting this up. Thank you, Brother Michael Sparks. He's up in the sound, running the sound for us. Other than that, what you see is what you get here this morning, other than the presence of God. We're still in the presence of God this morning. Scripture says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, not in the building, but we're all gathered around together in the name of Jesus to worship and praise him. So I pray that we'll do that today, wherever we are. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you do love us, and because you love us, you've given us your love. And Lord, you've given us that love that we might display that love. So Lord, today, right now, in this sanctuary, we pray that we will display our total affection to you. Those who are here, God, we've often said we need to sing and we need to preach and we need to pray to an audience of one, and Lord, that's what we're doing today. We're giving you all honor, praise, and glory because you are worth it. You are due it, God. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. servant comes to fight for me.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Sing a little louder.
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 In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah. A hallelujah. I'll raise a hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come together. It's in a different environment, Lord, that we're together. But we praise you nonetheless, God. We just thank you for watching over us. God, for protecting us. Lord, we pray that even as I speak right now, Lord, that you would just give us a sense of faith, Lord. Help us to lean on that faith as we go through these changing times, Lord, these things that we're doing differently, Lord, the concerns, Lord, the burdens that are on everybody's hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that you would just give us that strong faith and not that fear, God, that you would take that fear away and help us to lean on you, Lord. Just teach us as your scripture tells us, Lord. Just teach us to lean on you as we walk through this. God, I thank you for the comfort, the peace that you've given us, Lord, so much as we've gone through this, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to give us that, Lord, that you would give us a sense right now of praise, Lord, that we lift up your name. Lord, that you would give us that praise in our hearts, Lord, that you would take away the panic, God, that seems to fill this world right now, Lord, that you would just take that away from us, God, and that you would just give us the peace that we can only feel through you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, his gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of men could ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. My wife gave me this piece of paper. Thank you, honey. If you want to make any announcements, you can make comments on the Facebook Live page. If you have any church announcements, I would ask that those friends of mine who might be in the Rock Hill, Charlotte, or Kentucky area to please refrain from making comments about the shine coming off the top of my head during this. So, thank you. Thank you for reframing. I won't call names, but I could. If you have any announcements, please just post them on the bottom, church announcements. Also, to stay connected, ladies, if you'll join the women's Facebook page and y'all can all stay connected, I would ask our church members as well to please throughout the week or try daily to reach out to somebody that you might know who is isolated, who might just need a word of encouragement. You might need to go pick something up for them. We've tried to do that on a daily basis since we've been at home. Again, turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Last week at this church, we started a new sermon series entitled Issues of the Heart. Issues of the Heart. And we learned from the book of Jeremiah that the heart of a man is full of wickedness. We also saw in the book of Jeremiah that God used his prophet to call his people back to himself, and the people refused to return to God. God called them, and the people refused to return back to God, even though they had full scriptural knowledge that God could and would punish them for their rebellion towards him. They would not return. The people had removed themselves so far from God that they could not see that they were doing anything wrong. They couldn't in their own eyes see that they were doing anything wrong towards God. Seeing this event unfold last week in our scriptures, we were forced to take a good look at our own heart to see if we need to make changes that are affecting our relationship with the Lord. This morning, we're going to look at another heart issue as we continue in this series that if not resolved, can cause each and every one of us great pain. Today, we're going to deal with the heart issue of fear. Now, the praise team had no idea what I was going to be preaching. I didn't tell them. They didn't ask. So, as usual, God has prepared this message through song. So, this morning, we're going to look at the heart issue of fear. Look in your Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it's recorded and it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins once again, God, we pray that you would be with us, each and every one of us, Lord. We're absent in body, Lord, but we're with you. God, we're in one accord right now with you. Lord, we can't see each other, but Lord, we see each other in the faces all around us that would normally be with us, Lord. We're encouraged because of you and your love and, Lord, what you've given us. God, you have our hearts feeling emptiness right now, and that emptiness is because the love that you've given each one of us to not only love you, but to love others who aren't with us right now. So, God, I pray that you would be with us during this message. I pray that you would be with pastors all over the United States and all over the world who are doing as I'm doing and preaching to an empty auditorium. God, it's going to be hard for some of us, and I'm not going to say it's easy for me. But Lord, I pray that you would be with us all. You'd help us, Lord, to do one thing and one thing well, and that's to glorify your name and make your name known amongst the nations. Let that be the desire of every person under the sound of my voice, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen and amen. I hope you said that at home. So this morning, what do we see in our scripture? What does our scripture tell us this morning? Number one, it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear or fearfulness. If fear is in us, it does not come from God. It came from us. Let me say that again for some of y'all who were getting a bite of cereal or something. God did not give us a spirit of fear. If you have any fear in you whatsoever at all, it did not come from God. It came from us. According to scriptures, the only thing that we're to fear is God. The beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7. That is the only thing that we are to fear. We are to fear God when we make decisions. But fear in us, God did not put there. He didn't place there. Well, you might be sitting there saying, well, you know, I'm anxious, or I'm just sometimes a little nervous. That's fear. You can call it and you can try to disguise it any way, shape, form you want, but fear is fear. And understand, according to the scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Now, if God didn't give us a spirit of fear, we need to understand that. And as we understand that, we also need to understand something else. He did not give us fear, but this scripture this morning tells us that He did give us something. He didn't give us fear, but He gave us something. So what is it that God gave us? He didn't give us fear. What did He give us? Number one, our scripture this morning tells us that God gave us a spirit of power. Not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Strong's Concordance says the word power is dumas. This is one of the words that we get the word dynamite from. Dumas. And what this says, it means all things. All things. God has given us the spirit of power. And I hope that you pretty much know where I'm going with this. One of some of y'all's favorite scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the power that God has given us. It enables us to do things that we didn't think we could do. We didn't think we could say, to be who we never thought we could be. It gives us the power to open our mouths and speak the truth to people who need to hear the truth. It gives us the power to stand boldly, even if we're standing alone. This power has been given to us freely by God. Now understand, we need to turn our back on the power of fear, the spirit of fear that God didn't put in us. But we need to open our eyes to the spirit of power that God did give us. This power God gave us to enable us to do and to be everything He created us to be. He created us from the tops of our heads to the tips of our toes to be a walking, talking billboard for His Son, Jesus Christ. This power enables us to do that. Even when we think we cannot do it, God has given us the power. He has given us, freely given us the power to be a witness and a testimony for His Son. That's an unbelievable thing. That's an unbelievable gift. But He didn't stop there. He didn't give us the spirit of fear. But He gave us, according to this scripture this morning, He gave us the spirit of love. Of love. The Greek word for this is asaph, which means brotherly love. Now, I don't know what you're thinking, but this word correlates with the scripture of how we're to love one another, the greatest commandment of all. You're to love your brother as yourself. This brotherly love that He has given us, we didn't understand it. We didn't have it. We did not possess it until we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. As a matter of fact, we didn't know what really true love was at all until we accepted Christ as our Savior. When we accepted Him as our Savior, we received this gift of love. What that means is this. We now have the ability. We now have the ability to love others the way God loved us. Well, what does that mean, Brother Kyle? We're to love people the same way that God loves them. And that might seem easy, but if you really break it down and understand what this scripture is saying, that we have the power now to love, the power of love. Now we have the power to love people where they are in their sin. We're not condemning. We don't look down on them. We don't, you know, look over our nose at them. We don't condemn them. We love them the way God loved us. God loved us first in our sin. He saw where we were. And He loved us so much that He reached down in our sinful condition and gave us the opportunity to love Him. That's powerful. That's a powerful gift. You might be thinking, that's just overwhelming. To have the power, the spirit of power in me and the spirit of love in me, I don't know that I could handle too much more, but God didn't stop there. God also in this scripture tells us that God has given us the spirit of sound judgment. Well, what do you mean there? This means self-control and moderation. God has given you the spirit of judgment that when you encounter anything in life, you're able to step back and look at what's taking place, look at what's happening, and have self-control within you. I hope that's resonating within you with things that have taken place in the past couple of weeks. We ought to have self-control. We ought to be able to sit back and look at what's taking place around us and see that God is always in control. So God gave us the spirit of power. God gave us the spirit of love. And God gave us the spirit of sound judgment. Church, to sum up this one powerful verse, we do have the spirit of power, love, and sound judgment that God gave to us when we accepted His Son as our Savior. God did not give us the spirit of fear, nor did God intend for us to live in a state of fear. To live in fear is sin. To live in fear is sin because we're not putting our faith in God. When we're walking around always just wringing our hands, worrying, not knowing what's going on, just worried about the next day's events or what might happen a week from now or a month from now, we're not putting our faith in God. And God has everything under control. Now, what should we do when fear tries to seep into our lives? Because, I want you to understand, I'm not immune from the message that I'm speaking myself. I'm preaching myself. There are times when fear tries to seep in my life as it tries to seep in every one of our lives. What is it that we as Christians, those who should know better, what is it that we should do when fear tries to seep into our lives? Turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start reading in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Let me find it. Matthew 6, 25 says this. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn from the wildflowers, or some translations say lily. Learn from the lily of the field, how it grows. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, Jesus said, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't He do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own. Listen, Jesus gives us two great illustrations to remember when we face fear. I didn't say if we face fear. I said when we face fear. Jesus tells us first, He says, consider the birds of the sky. Now just think with me here for a second. Many of y'all woke up this morning, you heard the birds outside your windows up in the trees. Jesus said, consider those birds. Now think of all the different types of birds there are out there. The red ones, the blue ones, the orange ones. Think of the big ones, the small ones, the really small ones. Think of the hummingbirds. Think of Miss Betty Carter in Kentucky. She had all these feeders around her house and hummingbirds. It looked like an aerial assault on her backyard. But you think of all the birds of the sky. Jesus says, remember those birds when you worry. Now understand, He said, they do not sow or reap or gather into barns. These birds, These birds don't sow. Listen, they don't have a freezer. They don't have a pantry. They don't go to Food Lion. Now, you see them out there picking up scraps from the in the parking lot, but they don't ever go inside. And if they go inside, they don't get a buggy. These birds, they do not gather into the barns. They do not stockpile. Why is that? How is that? God takes care of them. God takes care of the birds. Now, I'm going to give you a statistic here that's going to, it was kind of startling to me. I knew there were a lot, but I didn't know there were this many. If you go and you Google estimated number of birds in the world, you just came up with a number in your head, or you thought of a crazy, outlandish number. But when I Googled this, this is what my answer came to be. How many birds are there in the world? There are between 200 and 400 billion birds in the world. 200 to 400 billion. If you think about it, there are between 40 and 60 birds to every one person. Now we need to stop and think about this thing for a second. Jesus said, don't worry, look at the birds. Now, we initially think of one bird. Okay, well, God's taking care of that little one bird that we see outside our window. He, you know, the one that's pecking on the ground, the worm got away from him. Another bird swooped down and got that worm. And that poor little bird doesn't have anything to... No. Let's don't think of one bird. Let's think of 200 to 400 billion birds who do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. But these birds are fed. How are they fed? God feeds them every single day. Now, I want you to understand something. These birds are doing something that they had the innate ability to do that man once used to do. We once had the same ability that birds have. I'll never forget years ago, we were sitting around in the break room at Charlotte Pipe and Foundry, and one of the break men who gave breaks to all the operators and people who were working in the foundry, his name was Jesse. And Jesse came and he was talking about the old days. And back in the old days, he said his family very seldom, if ever, went to the grocery store. Now you think about that for a second. How many times have y'all been to the grocery store this week? He said his family very seldom ever went to the grocery store. Now the guys who were sitting around the lunch table said, Jesse, well, how in the world? He said, we provided for ourselves. We caught fish, we put them up. I said, Jesse, how do you keep fish? He says, you salt them. You salt them and you can them. He said, we used to slaughter hogs and we used to have canned meat just like you can green beans or anything else. And I'm thinking, he went into great detail. He said they used to make sausage and put it in this jelly. Now, I'm willing to try a lot of things, but I don't think I'm going to try the jelly and encrusted sausage. But anyway, Jesse went straight through. He told us how they did everything. We used to have that ability. We went from being producers to consumers. You see, God's given us the ability. He's given this, as we look across the planet, we have the ability to take care of ourselves. But we've lost that ability. We've become consumers and not producers. The birds God gave that ability to. That they can find food wherever it is. And even when they can't find food, God helps them to find food. 200 to 400 billion birds in this world. He says, listen, don't worry. Don't worry. Look at the birds. Don't I love you more than I love the birds? That should give us great comfort. God created us in His image. We are His. If you are a part of the church, God is always with you. He's always going to take care of you. There should never be a time, never be a time, when you're so overwhelmed with worry that you lose faith in God. He gives us a second example, though. He says, why do you worry about clothes? Now, this was something those in biblical times did worry about. The average person, they had one, maybe two sets of clothes. They didn't have multiple outfits like we do today. And ladies didn't have a different pair of shoes to match 30 different outfits. Okay, yeah, I'm sure I got some comments on that. Jesus pointed their worry about clothes to the wildflowers, or in some versions of the Bible, just to the lily. He says they do not labor or spin thread, yet they are adorned greater than Solomon in all his splendor was adorned as one of those of these wildflowers, these lilies. Now understand, who's he talking about? Solomon, King Solomon. King Solomon and all of his riches. You remember Solomon's the one when God approached him after his father's death, he said, Solomon, because of my relationship with your father, I'm going to give you a wish. What do you ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him that, and he said, because you ask for wisdom and nothing else, especially not riches, I'm going to give you riches as well. I don't know how many pairs of clothes Solomon had, but being that he was a king, I imagine he had many, many, many sets of clothes. When people would come and they would visit with Solomon, they would bring their treasures from all over the world. They would bring fine linen and cloths and silks and all kind of fabrics. So Solomon had clothes. Now understand, Jesus is saying this. Jesus is saying, don't worry, look at the lily of the field. They are adorned greater than Solomon in all of his splendor. Solomon probably didn't even know this. With all that Solomon had, he was not dressed anywhere close to as beautiful as the flowers of the field. Now, if that doesn't do anything else, I hope that as you walk outside, and you are allowed to walk outside still, and you look at just the weeds that are popping up around you, the flowers, the dandelions, all the little flowers, all the azaleas, you'll stop and look and understand that God is speaking to you and helping you to understand that the way He has dressed this plant is more beautiful than you can even imagine. And He loves you more than a flower. He loves you more than a flower. He's telling us, don't worry. Don't worry. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Now, there have been many times that people have told me personally not to worry. That I could have faith in them. And I honestly, I've worried. When people have told me, listen, don't worry, have faith in me. I've still worried. There have been a lot of people who've said, listen, I understand. I want you to have faith in me. And even though they've told me and they've said it boldly, have faith in me, I really haven't had faith in them. I haven't. I've had employers to tell me not to worry that they were going to take care of me and my family. I've had people who have, with the best of intentions, who did not want me, that didn't have a clue of what I was struggling with, tell me that they would not, that I should not worry, that they are going to handle everything and they're going to take care of me. I've heard preachers and teachers say, don't worry. And all of you have heard the government tell you not to worry. And when the government tells you not to worry, that's when you ought to worry. But I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus, not the government, not your friend, not your next door neighbor, not your employer, Jesus Christ Himself is telling us, do not worry. I don't have faith in people. I have faith in Jesus. If Jesus says don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Now, listen to what Jesus, not me, some of y'all getting ready to get mad. Listen to what Jesus says attributes to all of our worry. It's seen in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Jesus says this. Matthew records Jesus saying this. He says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't He do much more for you? You of little faith. You of little faith. You see, when times get hard, when we struggle, when we're going through anything, usually the last person we come to is Jesus. And I want to implore you. I want to encourage you. I want to just beg you. We need to come to Jesus first. Jesus said, don't worry. And all worry comes from our lack of faith. The stronger our faith is, the less we're going to worry. I mean, that's an easy math equation. 1 + 1 = 2. If you have faith in Jesus and you put your faith in Jesus, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you are going to be okay. You're not going to worry. You're not going to worry. I think as I was preparing this message, I thought of Jesus with his apostles out in the sea, and the storm came. And Jesus went down and he laid in the bottom of the boat. He went to sleep. And a great storm came. Y'all know the story. The apostles, they went crazy. They came downstairs and woke Jesus up. And I think it was Peter says, don't you know that we're about to die? You know, all Jesus wanted them to do was have faith. That's what that whole event was about. That was the whole experience. That's why they were experiencing what they were experiencing. Jesus knew the storm was coming. Jesus created the storm. He spoke the storm into existence, and he went downstairs to go to sleep. He knew the men upstairs needed faith. That's what it was all about. Jesus wished, I can imagine, that just one of them would have come downstairs and laid beside him in the bed and shown that they had faith in him. In the midst of the storm, instead of panicking, if just one of them would have walked downstairs and laid beside Jesus and said, Jesus, I have faith in you. Or better this, if just one of them in the midst of the storm as Jesus slept downstairs, one of them just stood at the mast of the ship and shook their fist at the sea and the raging sea and the clouds above and said, listen, don't you know who's on board with us? The Lord Savior, Jesus Christ is here. You'll have no dominion over us. That's the faith. That's the faith that Jesus wants us to have. And if we have that faith, we won't worry. Fear won't have a grip on us. Church, what are people worried about today? What are people worried about? Number one, they're worried about their jobs. They're worried about their jobs. And I understand that. I really do. I have family members who work in the restaurant industry, and it's sad. Unless you are willing to do things that you've never done before. I understand where the fear comes from, but don't let that fear cripple you. Listen, there's never been a time where I have not been able to provide for my family somehow, some way. And you have to understand that if you are a child of God, God is going to give you the ability to do things for yourself and your family. Well, listen, it might not be the way that you've always done it. You might not be able to go on 4 or 5 vacations, and you might not be able to have 3 or 4 cars, but God will provide for you. I promise you, God will provide for you. There's been times in the last 20 years in ministry, I didn't know how I was going to get by. The money didn't match up with the bills, and the bills really didn't match up with the money. But God always provided. There would be a cooler full of chicken underneath the carport. There'd be a little extra money in my paycheck. Somebody would do something for us. Somebody would supply our needs. Something would always happen, and it was always Jesus. We don't need to worry. Please don't worry about your jobs. Please don't worry about your jobs. People are worried about money. And I understand that as well. I really do. Don't worry about money. We know Scripture says the lust of all money is the root of all evil. Now, I know that none of y'all were lusting over money. And I would suggest that in this time that you cut corners and you try to make adjustments within all your lifestyles and your budgets. Make arrangements. Do that. It's smart. It's prudent. But don't be worried about money. Don't be worried about money. God will provide a way. Understand, you've heard me say this and you've heard other pastors say this. My God owns all the cattle on every hillside. There's nothing that he cannot do for us. Third thing that some of y'all are worrying about is food. Please, church members, please, if you have enough, don't go back to the grocery stores. Just leave stuff for other people. It's been unbelievable to go through two or three grocery stores in the past week and seeing there's hardly any meat on the shelf. There's no paper products. There's no Lysol. My daughter Emily called and said that she couldn't find baby wipes. Now, listen, I understand that some of y'all, there's a toilet paper shortage, but let's leave the baby wipes for the mothers with babies. Okay, amen. I hope everybody just said amen in the house. There's certain things. Listen, we don't need to worry about stuff like that. God's going to take care of us. Now, we might need to go back and do what, listen to the Jesse again from the Foundry. As my children were growing up, they didn't like leftovers. Go back to leftovers. Whatever's left over, put it in the refrigerator. Eat it for lunch. Listen, don't worry about food, but be careful with food. Now, I'm not going to tell you to do what my dad did. A lot of y'all always get a joke out of this. My dad, he was the cook in the house, and on Monday he would cook something, and whatever was left over, he didn't put it in a Tupperware container. He put it in a pot. And what was left over Tuesday, he didn't put it in a Tupperware container. He put Monday and Tuesday in a pot. And Friday, my dad would cook the pot. Sometimes the pot was good. Sometimes the pot was not so good. Sometimes the pot smelled, made the aroma through the house that was just unbelievable, just mouth-watering. Other times, you wanted to open the windows. But that's the way he was raised. Let's go back and let's start being smarter with what God has given us. Instead of scraping it in the trash, let's make a to-go plate and take it to somebody who might not have the ability right now to buy extra food. Let's go above and beyond. Ask God to give us the wisdom to make wise decisions with everything that we have. Well, Brother Kyle, it sounds like you're panicking. I'm not panicking. But in these times, listen, we're separated. We're separated as a church family. But God has still commanded us to be a witness to those who are around us. And there are ways that we can be a witness to people that our Jesus is in us and that He loves us and we love them because of this love by little acts of kindness like this. Don't worry. Some of y'all are worried about catching this virus or a family member catching it. And our prayers are with you. I would encourage you, as I've been encouraged, and try to stay at home as much as you possibly can. Try and stay with your wife and your family as much as you possibly can. We've prayed for these times. If you really think about it, we have. We've prayed, God, you would slow our lives down, you'd slow our lifestyles down. As I look across this church and I look at different pews, there are people who at certain times they haven't been here for certain reasons. It might have been sporting events or it might have been concerts or family issues or people have scheduled family events on Sunday when they really shouldn't have. God has cleared all our schedules to spend time with our family. Take advantage of that. Spend time with your family. Open the Word of God with your family. Love on your family in a way that you never have before, because this soon's going to end. And we're going to be back in the rat race and everything's going to be wide open again. And we're actually going to long for the time that we've spent with each other during these days. Church, I want to implore with you all right now to please take a breath. Not thinking about everything that's going on in the world. And tells you what the world tells you to do and what the world tells you to worry about. Not taking this advice from me, but take it from Jesus with what He said through our scripture this morning. Worrying is a heart issue that attacks due to our lack of faith. Church, listen, Jesus is in yesterday. He is in today, and He is already in tomorrow, making a way for us. He said, don't worry. Jesus said that. Jesus said, don't worry. It's our job to listen to Him. Let's pray. Father, we come to You asking forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we pray that You will forgive us of our worry. Lord, we pray that we would cling to you like we never have before. We would come to you like we never have before. Lord, during this time, I pray that you would help us to find more time for you. God, help us to get into your word and study a book like we never have before. To pray like we never have before. To serve others like we never have before. That this would become a new lifestyle for us. Even when things get back to normal, we'll continue to do what we've learned to do to show you our faith in you today. God, I pray that you would be with all the families of Chevis Oaks Baptist Church and all those who are listening right now. God, I pray that you would bless us, you would keep us, you would watch over us, and you'd help us to feel your love like we never have before. God, thank you for that love. Thank you for saving us. And God, if there's somebody listening to this message right now who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that they would open their Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3, and they would read the encounter that Jesus had with Nicodemus and how Jesus said, you must be born again. Lord, I pray that they would read that scripture and they would go to Romans 10:9 and see where Paul gives us the perfect plan of salvation. It's not about religion. It's not about what church would say what. It's about what you said every person must do. You said if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God, you have raised Jesus from the dead, scripture says we shall be saved. I pray that if there's somebody who hasn't done that, they'll pray that prayer this morning. God, help us to draw closer to you during this time. Help us to love you like never before and love others. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.